Okay. I didn't get the confirmation right away, so okay, we're set up. I just wanted to go through just a couple of things ahead of time. I want you to understand that this study has been reviewed by the Institutional Review Board at Buffalo State College. Keep in mind, if you're not comfortable in answering any questions, that your freedom to state that you don't want to answer that particular question. The risks to your participation are no greater than you would experience day to day. However, again, we're trying to understand motivations and hesitations of using fun and teaching statistics, so that would be a benefit from your participation in here. I'm going to jot notes as we're talking, but your name is nowhere on the sheets that I'm jotting in the notes, and they will not be in any way attributed to what you say.
Okay.
That makes sense? Is that okay with you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So the first thing I need to do before we get into the topics of fun is I would like to try to get a description of your statistics classes. And I have a couple of questions for that.
Okay.
How many do you teach in a typical semester?
Just one.
And is that, what type? Is it an intro course, is it a more advanced course, graduate course?
It's introductory, non-calculus-based for undergraduate majors in primarily the College of Liberal Arts.
Okay. And the typical student in that class, what is the age distribution of those students?
So it's a 3,000-level class. Most of the students are sophomores or juniors in their undergraduate degree.
Okay.
We do have some continuing education students and some freshmen, but those are very few and far between.
Okay. All right. What about the ability level of those students?
Ability levels in math or in statistics?
In statistics.
So most of them have not had any statistics courses before coming into my class, and there's no math prerequisite for this course, so I would say it's a very basic course.
Okay.
And a lot of them do struggle with the idea of math or statistics.
Okay. What about their interest level? Can you give me any general sense of a typical student in the class and their interest level?
I think that varies. I usually have a few that are very interested. I would say the majority of the class are taking this for like a quantitative reasoning requirement. So We try to make the class interesting, but a lot of them come into it thinking that it's going to be pretty boring and dry, and they're not terribly excited.
Okay. And can you give me a sense of the different majors of students that take that course?
Sure. So like I said, the College of Liberal Arts is kind of the primary one that we do service with this course. We have a lot of psychology, educational psychology type students, so they early elementary education, things like that. We service nursing students, kinesiology, and then again, the liberal arts is just such a conglomeration of different majors. It would be hard to just pick out a few.
Right. Okay. So it's across the board. It's a wide range of majors that take that. Okay.
Right. The students we don't service would be the ones who are in, like, math, engineering, statistics, business, things like that. They have their own stats courses. We don't have them in our class.
Okay. Okay. Now, my group has defined various different categories of fun activities.
Okay.
And I'm going to go through these activities and ask, have you tried this kind of thing? And there is a variety of questions based on what you respond. So if I hesitate a little bit, I'm looking through our interview protocol to identify what I need to ask for these things. These various different things. The first category is cartoons. Mm-hmm. And you use cartoons in your intro statistics class?
No, I don't think that I do.
Okay. What about games? Anything that's a game-like? It doesn't have to be like a board game, but any kind of game that you might interact with the class with.
Yes, I do have a couple of games that I use.
Okay. What about jokes or humor?
I try to be humorous on a fairly regular basis just for the sake of keeping the atmosphere of the class light. I don't have, like, a set list of jokes that I would use, but I am comfortable using those, and I do use them somewhat regularly.
Okay. And then the last category we have is poems or songs.
Nope, I don't have any poetry or songs.
And, all right, so let's look at the games first. Can you be a little bit more specific about what kind of games that you use or what kind of activities that you consider games and how you would, in a typical class, how you would use that?
Mm-hmm, sure. So I have a game that we use. It's actually programmed so that everyone can access it via the internet, and it's kind of designed at the idea of randomness.
Okay.
So it's used to sort of introduce what students think is random, sort of patterns of randomness. Do you want a specific explanation of what that entails, or?
Let me see. Yeah, I guess, I mean, is that the only one, or do you use some others? Because I don't know if I need the specifics about exactly what the
okay.
concept is, but if I can see how it is used in the class so I'm looking more of in general, I guess, in the beginning.
Okay,
All right, so you use this, and it introduces patterns of randomness. Where do you go from there when you try to? So is that something that you do? Well, let me ask you this. Let's go this way. Just to ask a couple other questions. So do you use it to? You said you use it to introduce the concept of randomness.
Mm-hmm.
So you do that before what kind of topics and statistics?
So the course that I teach is not a quote-unquote traditional course. We use randomization and simulation methods.
Okay.
And so we focus more sort of on the non-parametric side of things.
Okay.
So in the beginning, the very first portion of the course is really focused on students' intuitions about randomness, and we sort of build up to an informal understanding of statistical inference.
Okay.
So randomness in general is sort of a topic that we are focusing on in this first unit to help students better understand, for example, why a sampling distribution looks like a bell-shaped curve.
Right.
So this randomness idea, this activity that we use, is part of an activity that the students do in class, in small groups. And it's sort of to get them thinking about patterns and randomness, and then we follow up with an activity where they actually use the software in the course to model what they see in that game.
Okay. And do you find that particular game effective with the students' understanding of randomness?
Yes, I definitely think so. It definitely raises some good questions in the class. It gets them thinking about it, which are both two of our main reasons for using it.
Okay. And so do you, without having to be specific, so you have other kind of games or similar things that you use throughout the semester that's similar to that? Or is there...
We do use one or two other applets but I don't believe that I would kind of categorize those as games. Let's see, in class, we do a couple of different demonstrations with cards or sort of like manual resampling techniques.
Okay.
So I don't know if you would consider those games or not. They're definitely active. They're hands-on. They're getting the students thinking about what's going on. But there's not like a winning criteria. There's not like a prize if they do well on the rest.
Right,
of
yeah. Well, I see what you're – okay, yeah. I don't think games have to necessarily have that as a criteria in our definition.
Okay.
I think
sure.
It's more of a – you know, like a card trick would be a game – that
mm-hmm.
can, you know, get across an idea of statistics or expectation or something like that. So it doesn't have to have a winning result to it.
Mm-hmm.
So that, yes, that definitely. So even then, the Appleton demonstrations could can still consider to be games in our, according to our definition.
Okay. Yep. So, yes, I would say that we do use those fairly regularly throughout the course.
Okay. Then you also said that you use some jokes and humor. Is this, do you do that formally with knowing certain concepts coming up and so you have a traditional joke that you introduce or use for that? Or is it just as it arises that you use the jokes or humor?
It's pretty impromptu. I don't usually plan for those things.
And so as a student says something as a response or a question, you would use a humorous response that gets to a particular point. Is that what you're suggesting? Or?
I don't think I quite understood the question.
So a student will ask a question or answer a question, and then you would recognize that there's a possibility for a humorous remark? Is that how it comes out?
Yeah, I would say so. It's generally in the large class discussion environment. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you actually mentioned something I should go back to, is how large are your classes?
Oh, I have about 30 to 40 students.
Okay. Now, do you think the humor is effective with the students?
I would say generally yes. I do recognize that most of the class responds positively to that. It lightens the mood a little bit, and then they end up being a little bit more receptive to further discussion on the topic. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to come back to those in a second, but I want to ask about cartoons.
Okay.
And why don't you use those? Why have you not tried them yet?
I guess I haven't found any that I've thought are appropriate or in the context of my class.
Appropriate being for the type of student that you have? Or
the type of students and the topics.
Okay. So if you were to find particular cartoons that you think were appropriate, then would you use those?
Certainly, yes.
Okay. So if you think that they're going to be appropriate, if you think that you would use them, you would think that they would be effective with your students. I'm assuming that. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What about poems or songs? Why have you not tried something like that?
So I've seen a number of different examples of that type of thing, and I don't think that it would fit with my teaching style very well.
Okay. All right. Would it be possible that in the future that a particular joke or a particular poetry or song might wind up being something that you could use, or
Sure, I'm not totally ruling out the possibility. I just haven't found any that I really like.
Okay. And okay, that's all. So let me go back to the ones that you do use, the games and the jokes and the humor. Do you find these effective with any particular individual in your classroom, be it age, ability level, interest level, majors, gender? Do you see any differences in how they would react to, say, let's start with the cartoons that they, with the games. Is there any differences that you might see in how they react, how they participate in those?
That is a good question. I don't think that I have noticed any specific patterns. It seems to me that the entire class does enjoy doing those types of activities.
Okay. So they're generally effective with all, so they all basically participate, they all basically typically learn from those activities.
Mm-hmm.
From the game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What about the jokes and the humor? Is that the same, or do you notice, again, some differences in with some of the specific types of students you have in your class?
I think I keep those general enough that everyone can appreciate them and understand. I guess on occasion, say something funny and you get a blank stare, but for the most part, I think it's pretty universal.
Right, right. And so when you think of those jokes, is this is going to work when I say this, or do you just say it and then if it works, great. If it didn't, then what do you do?
I don't think I usually give it a whole lot of forethought.
Okay. And if it doesn't work, so if you do, you know, you thought something was funny and the students didn't respond the way you were expecting, do you try to explain why that was funny, or do you just move on?
If that's the case, I would usually, I would explain.
Okay.
Probably just state that I thought it was funny and go on from there.
So okay.
Kind of laugh at myself, sort of, for...
Right, right. I'm just looking through the interview protocol to make sure I'm getting everything here.
Okay.
Let's see. Do you think comparing the games and the jokes and humor, do you think one of those is more effective than the other in general first?
Yes, I do think so. I think that using games and activities is definitely more effective because they let the student get that hands-on experience. So they can maybe make a strategy to play the game and change that, and I think it forces them to confront their own intuitions about the topics that we're addressing.
Okay.
And then as they play it longer, as it's explained to them, I think it makes more sense to them. The topics make more sense. They're able to grasp it better.
Okay. And so the games actually take a significant amount of class time to do. Is that correct?
It depends, but yes. Mm-hmm.
So it depends on the type of game or activity that it is. Some take longer than others.
Yes.
And does the length of time that an activity is being done by the students, does that affect how much their interest or their understanding is? Do they get more out of doing it longer?
I think as long as it's engaging, the length of time doesn't matter. I have seen them get bored if an activity is drawn out too long,
right,
and they feel that they've already gotten as much out of it as they're going to get.
Okay.
I think there's a balance between spending enough time on it that they can really delve into it, and then you don't want to go overboard on the other end and kind of let them start Facebooking and things like that in class.
Right. Now, do you do anything outside of class at all when you do these activities? Do you have them go online to play with a particular applet and then talk about it in class, or is it done mostly in class?
So I have at least one computer per group of students in my class, so usually that type of thing is done in class. I think there's one activity where we have an out-of-class applet that they go look at.
Okay.
And that's sort of tied to a homework assignment, and then we discuss that in class.
Okay. Do you? So let me ask you more about these activities. Are they something that you just have them go to read the instructions and enter or work on the activity, or do you show some kind of demonstration first and then they work on it?
I usually say a few sentences about it, and then I hand them the activity and they take it from there. So there are a lot of guiding discussion questions that kind of go along with it, so it helps to guide each group, but each group then can work at their own pace.
Okay.
Rather than having to pull the class back together repeatedly.
Okay. And do you, once the activity is done, you bring them back into a whole entire group to discuss?
Correct.
All right. I think that's all for those two. Let me go back to cartoons. And if I remember correctly, you mentioned that there weren't many that you found that would be appropriate for your class.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were to find some that you thought would be appropriate, that would get a point across, would you use that?
Yes.
So what do you think you would need in order to maybe access some of those cartoons?
I think it would be helpful to have sort of a database of some sort that I'm looking for something regarding a specific topic. I could go there and grab something without having to search for too long.
Right.
I mean, class preparation takes plenty of time as it is, so
right,
trying to go and look for a funny cartoon or something to put on the board before class isn't really high on my list of priorities. So
right,
if it were streamlined a little bit, I think I would certainly be more interested in doing something like that.
Okay. And what about poetry and songs? If you were able to find them, I would imagine that a part of that would be similar to having access, easy access. Would you be
mm-hmm.
open to using poetry, a poem or a song in class?
So that I would hesitate just a little bit with, but again, it's more because I haven't seen any that I really would appreciate or that I think could fit my teaching style.
Okay.
But yes, if there were a larger database, if there were more options, I'd certainly be open to the idea.
Okay. All right. And I'm just looking through, making sure I've answered the questions we need. So the one last question I have, are you still there?
Yep.
Okay, I heard a beep. I'm not sure.
Not on my end.
Okay. So the only other question that I have is two actual questions, and that is, can you provide me any additional information about your motivations in using the particular categories that we've talked about, and that is games and jokes and humor? Anything else that you can provide me that I've not asked for?
Sure. I think as far as motivation goes, especially with the games and activities, it's more of, as an instructor and as a student of education and having an interest in education in general, I think that the idea that students do construct their own knowledge is essential. So that's a sort of a constructivist approach. So having them experience a game like that and construct their own knowledge, I think, is very useful in their learning.
Okay.
And then the other thing would be that a lot of the things I use have to do with pretty commonplace ideas. It's not, we don't usually use something that's too abstract. So I think it can really get at students' prior knowledge about these things, and it makes them more comfortable with using the context that we do.
Okay. All right. And can you provide me any additional information maybe on some of your hesitations of using the two categories, that is, the poems or songs or cartoons that we haven't yet talked about?
No, I think I would stick with the ease of finding them and then my individual teaching style.
Right, right. Okay. I think that is all that we needed to talk about.
Okay.
I'm just making sure real quick, if you don't mind, just looking through. But I think I think that is everything. So I just wanted to take the time and thank you very much for your time and answering these questions and your willingness to answer these questions.
You're
and
welcome.
If you remember, the email said that we would put your name in for a $25 gift card. So I will submit your name so you can be eligible for that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Please stand by.